everybody. Welcome to our second Waller ISD 24-25 Shack Meeting of the Year. Thank you for being in attendance today. And we do have some people in the room, too, who the almost rain decided to go ahead and chance it. And it's not coming down yet. So, and Ms. Posey is here again as our chair for our Shack Meeting. And so, welcome. So for those of you who are unable to attend our first meeting in October, I thought I would start by reviewing who we are as a Shack and our purpose. The Shack is also known as the School Health Advisory Council, and it's a group of individuals representing various stakeholders or members of the community. The Shack is appointed by the school district to provide guidance on school health programming and its impact on student health and learning. And in your agenda that has been shared with you also through email earlier today, I have included EHAA legal and EHAA local in that agenda for those of you who would like to read a more detailed version of our process through board policy. So looking back at our first meeting on October 29th, we took a look at the Crime Stoppers and Waller County Sheriff's Office draft presentation for Waller High School students, grades 9 through 12 for Shack review. This came to the 24-25 Shack last year as Crime Stoppers and the Waller County Sheriff's Office were recommended by the 23-24 Shack to be out of district presenters to our Waller High School students, and that was approved by our Waller School Board last May. This left it up to us to take a look at the draft presentation, and that's what we did at our first meeting. Following that meeting, a survey went out and both presentations were approved with 100% of support of all who participated in that survey. So thank you to those of you that participated. The comments were wonderful too. And so I'm gonna share all of that information with you following this meeting so you can read those comments yourself. From here, the high school is gonna become part of the process as plans are made to share this material with students. Please remember that prior to any student participation in the material, parents will need to opt into both resources. And so I know we keep saying that over and over and over, but we feel that's really important that we understand as we make these recommendations. And in this case, the school board approved based on that parents are opting into these materials. And so, and it will be the same for what we're working on for this year.
Yeah, so next, our next task, I want to be very specific in the language that I use here. From EHAA Legal, we are to find appropriate grade levels and curriculum for instruction regarding the dangers of opioids, including instructions on opioid addiction and abuse, including addiction to and abuse of synthetic opioids such as fentanyl, and methods for administering an opioid antagonist. So in a similar way that we addressed abuse prevention materials last year, we will also be looking at a lot of different options this time to address the opioid and fentanyl abuse and addiction. So with that, we will need to be looking at what is appropriate for age and grade level. And all of this will also be opt-in, as Angie said. So I believe there's going to be a lot of work to do today and between our next meeting. With that, Jamie Woodall, who is the executive director for school safety and security, is going to give us a presentation on a bunch of different options that we have to kind of look at today.
All right, Jamie. I can't hear her. Hey, Jamie, we can't hear you.
Is your sound turned down? Because did you turn your sound
down?
Yes, I did. Angie?
Hold on, Jamie, we can hear you. Wow. Okay. Go for it.
I think I can now.
You can go. Oh. Okay, Jamie, give it a shot.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so I put together this presentation, and I feel good about the options that we have available to look at today. So I just want to go through each of these, but first I want to remind everybody how we got to where we are right now. We do have a mandate that states that we do have to have that annual instruction for students, grades 6 through 12. That was already mentioned, but if you want to know exactly where that's coming from, it's Texas Education Code 38.040. And so you can look at that here. I will be sharing this presentation if it hasn't already been shared. There's no secrets in here, so you can peruse this on your own. Also, one thing I want to emphasize is that the SHAC committee is responsible for determining what the appropriate grade levels are and also the curriculum for each of those grade levels regarding the dangers of opioid as well as the addiction to fentanyl. And that can be found here. So this is not a decision the school makes. This is a decision that the SHAC makes and makes that recommendation to the board. These are the organizations, state and federal, that have been provided to us through the Texas School Safety Center. And the TEA also provides different options as well. You'll find through this presentation that they actually mirror each other very well. The Texas School Safety Center is what I work within on the safety and security side of things. And the TEA kind of punts to them with a lot of the resources available for much of our safety and security initiatives. For example, our threat assessments that we do is punted to the Texas School Safety Center from the TEA. So that's why you will see both of them mentioned in this presentation. The link here does take you to the Texas School Safety Center where all of these links are found. We're not going to explore each of these right now in this presentation. I just more wanted you to see that there's a lot of options out there. The health education that we do end up landing on will need to fall within the Texas Educational Knowledge and Skills, Essential Knowledge and Skills. And if you want to know more about what that looks like, you can click here in the presentation and you will actually see what all is required to be taught in relation to this fentanyl abuse prevention and drug poisoning awareness. So it's quite a bit, but actually it's really not hard to follow. Just basically the state gives us these parameters we have to teach within. And so that's what you will see there. And then what this presentation is designed to do for you guys is to identify what we are actually looking at. What am I presenting in front of you today? And then what are we looking for as a SHAC committee? And so everything that I have provided in this presentation is free material and are recommended by the TEA and or the Texas School Safety Center. And you'll see how those align here in just a few minutes. What you are looking for as a SHAC committee are for the curriculum to align with all the TEKS, to align with Texas Education Code 38.040, and we need to find what we consider or you consider is grade appropriate. And I'll mention this a few times throughout the presentation. It doesn't have to be a one-size-fits-all curriculum. It's a whatever range of students is determined to be considered that this needs to be taught to can, like maybe high school has one curriculum and the junior high has a different curriculum. If you decide that what is being available, what's being provided to you would make sense for different areas versus others. So it doesn't have to be a one-stop shop for everything. And you'll see that some of these presentations do present a one-stop shop, but you will see that sometimes that's not always age appropriate all the way across the board. So before I get in the next few slides, what you'll see is the different programs that I have gone through the TEA and the Texas School Safety Center and looked at what curriculum they are advertising as an option. And so I've made some personal notes on these based on what I think that the curriculum offers. What I don't have in here is what I think is appropriate or not, because that's the SHAC's responsibility. So it's very objective information here. And so, for example, the National Institute on Drug Abuse, this is, they specifically say that their curriculum is designed for grades 5 through 12. On some other slides, you will see that I don't have a designation for those grades because maybe they didn't mention it or I couldn't find it on their website or through the plans. And so I just copied and pasted mainly from their website to kind of clean this up a little bit because it's a lot to sort through. So you can see that there's some lesson plans available. There are some activities available and then some links that show what this material is going to look like. And that's for the SHAC committee to go through. I don't mind clicking on some of these. I'm going to get through the whole presentation. And then once I get done, if we want to come back and see these, if time permits, we can do that. You will also see through the presentation that there might be a tag here called the parent companion, which means that this initiative also has a parent curriculum that can be used at home to reiterate or to reinforce what is being taught at school. So you can click here and see the parent link here for conversation starters. And so not all of them have a parent companion, but I wanted to highlight the ones that did. And then as the SHAC committee continues to look through the different curriculum, there's one called the Tucker Project. And many of the initiatives that you will find are initiated by parents who have lost a loved one due to fentanyl poisoning. And so that's why you'll see some of these foundations that are started from here. So this curriculum is designed 6 through 12 according to their website. And you'll see here a couple of links where you can find the material. If you go here, there's classroom discussions like guided discussion prompts and case studies. Guest speakers are recommended. And then there's some assessments available through this curriculum. And they say that their emphasis is on safety and responsibility. And then some fact sheets. And then there's a student ambassador program that I thought I would put on here based on their website. Again, you have a parent companion that goes with this. And so that would be another link that you could check out. The next one is called Stop the Void. On this particular curriculum, they do not indicate what grade level this is intended for. It does come in English and Spanish. There's an educator toolkit that has an activity section and also provides talking points and resources for staff. A parent companion for that. We have the Virginia Foundation for Healthy Youth, and this curriculum is designed for 9 through 12. And you can see here that they provide a PowerPoint lesson. They have an implementation guide. They have the instructor version with notes that goes with that PowerPoint lesson. And then they have a pre and post survey and then as well an answer key for that staff person. There is no, could not find a parent companion that would go with this. There is an Operation Prevention and designs grades 3 through 12, English and Spanish. And this is a joint effort between the DEA and Discovery Education. And one thing I would highlight here, it's one of the only ones that I could find that had separate, separate curriculum for elementary, middle school, and high school. And there's also a self-paced option. And so there's a parent companion with that as well that you would want to check out. Stanford Medicine, there is the free curriculum has 13 lessons. It goes a little bit beyond just the fentanyl. It has some of the other areas that are in the TEKS that need to be addressed as well. But lesson 9, I wanted to kind of highlight where you would find the actual fentanyl and other opioids education. It is a Canvas slide. They do indicate that this is a newly updated curriculum. So I didn't see the old one. I have a misspelling there on the slide. My apologies. And then students have take-home material that they can go home and show parents as well. So it's a take home to parents, but not necessarily a parent curriculum. Then we have Know the Truth. This is designed for 8 through 12, according to their website. And again, I said this earlier, but this really is a what they determine is appropriate, but the SHAC committee would actually be the one determining what is appropriate for Waller ISD. And so this is a course that, again, has a little bit more than just opioid courses. And so depending on what the SHAC committee wants, it can be a standalone, or we can carve or build in some of these other pieces that the Know the Truth curriculum has. I did not see a parent curriculum with that. Another DEA opportunity is One Pill Can Kill. This is probably one of the most popular ones that I've seen in schools. And it does also have a parent curriculum that goes with that as well. And then here you have some supplemental educational videos. So these aren't necessarily a whole curriculum. It's more of a standalone video that's intended to kind of be an ad, if you would, for fentanyl prevention. But it's not necessarily the whole kit and caboodle for a curriculum. But some of them I did find to be captivating, and so that might be something you want to consider adding to a curriculum if you choose to. We also have downloadable resources. Again, this is all from either Texas State School Safety Center or from the TEA. And so most of these are just going to be fact sheets or infographs that allow schools to make it more of a handout and easy supplement to the education, but it's not necessarily a full curriculum, but these are suggested by the Texas School Safety Center. And then here we have some additional resources, and this link right here, this fentanyl awareness resources curated for schools, that is actually a TEA document, and that's where I got a lot of our links as well. They pair very nicely with what the School Safety Center also provides. And so I'm gonna go back a little bit. I want to show you so this is the Texas School Safety website, so you can see all the curriculum that they've recommended, which looks very familiar to what I had put in the presentation. But then you can also see that curated document from the TEA also has a lot of the same resources available to Texas Health and Human Services. You will also see DEA, CDC, NIH, SAMHSA. These are all ones that we were already discussing in the presentation based off Texas School Safety Center and TEA. So I think it's neat that they align quite well. It makes it easier for schools as well. So we are down to here. These are just some additional resources. There's a National Fentanyl Day. I believe that was in October, so we missed that for this year, but there's a whole toolkit for schools. And then just to highlight what the next steps are for the SHAC committee, the task here, the action items would be to align the curriculum with the mandate and with TEKS. And so if a curriculum, say, goes above and beyond, would the SHAC committee be okay with that? If a curriculum doesn't quite meet a piece of either the mandate or TEKS, then where would we supplement, or would we just move on to a different curriculum? And then once it is determined what does and does not meet the mandate and TEKS, then comes the evaluating of the content. Once it's evaluated, determining what grade is appropriate for each curriculum. And again, it doesn't have to be the same curriculum district-wide. It can be changed based on the grade level. And then produce those recommendations for the board. All right, that was really fast. So I'm happy to go back and look at any of the links. I'm also happy to answer questions that may have already come up.
Can you go back? We had a request to go back to the TEKS and just kind of, because the first action item for Shaq is to align to the TEKS. And so for those of us that are educators, we're used to looking at those, but
yes,
some others may not be. And so can you just kind of pull those up again and kind of talk
just,
about that?
Yeah, if we could just kind of go through it so that parents who don't have a background in education know, essentially, for the parents who are on the call, our charge is going to be to go through these TEKS. I like to print them out and take a highlighter to them and understand what it is that's being asked, and then is that aligned in whatever curriculum that it is that you're reviewing. So obviously we have a lot of options. Jamie, do you know if any of the ones presented are 100% aligned already?
No, and unfortunately the TEA has not created that chart for us. They do that with the mental health, some of the mental health curriculum, and they say if it fully meets or where it's missing, and they have not produced that material for us yet. So we are going to have the heavy lift on that.
Okay. No, and that's, you know what, isn't that great that we have that opportunity, not just for our community, but honestly for the state, if we could put something together that says, hey, we took this from here and that from there, and we can confirm that it is 100% aligned, then that's going to help out a lot of other districts.
Yes, and I completely agree with that. It also, to me, puts a lot of weight on the work that y'all do, and we know at that point that we can feel comfortable moving forward with that curriculum.
Yeah, and parents, this is a heavy lift. It's not being packaged to us or given to us like our last presentations were, and then we just kind of have to decide what we like, what we don't like. Does it meet TEKS? Does it not? This is really, we're kind of building it from the ground up, so it will take some of your time. And I know Angie's happy to answer any questions. If you have any, you can reach out to her. If you want to talk to me as a parent in that perspective, happy to meet with you and talk with you. But Jamie, if you could go through just some of the TEKS and kind of break them down. You know, as educators, we go through a PD a lot of the time to how do you read these things.
Yes.
So if we could give a crash course to parents, I'm sure that would be really helpful.
Yes, that's great. So with the TEKS, what you'll see here is you have health education, kindergarten through third grade, and they want to make sure that we hit these particular parts of the TEKS in the fentanyl and drug poisoning awareness curriculum. So what you'll see here, I won't read every single one of them, but I'm going to get to this first one to show how it repeats itself and kind of in a pattern moving forward. And so these students need to be able to gain an understanding of health information and skills through five strands: physical health and hygiene, mental health and wellness, healthy eating and physical activity, injury and violence prevention and safety, and alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs. And then as a sub-bullet, the standards under alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs strand focus on a number of protective factors. And if you're not familiar with the difference between a protective factor and a risk factor, the protective factors are what prevents us from getting into these situations, and a risk factor is what puts us at more risk for getting into these situations. So I do like the idea of a protective, how can we give kids those skills to be protected against getting involved or exposed to fentanyl and other related deaths. And so it's designed to empower students who are able to make better informed decisions, include understanding the impact of substance abuse. So the example here would be that in the curriculum, if you see something that says, you know, the impacts of drug use or on the individual life, on the family, on the community, on the healthcare system, if you see that, then you can check that box, basically, for that curriculum. Through this strand, students learn key concepts about alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs, including use, misuse, and the psychological effects, short and long-term impacts on health, treatment, risk factors, protective factors, and prevention. And so I would say almost all of these curriculums is probably, this is the cornerstone of where their curriculum probably starts with. So, but that would be another checkoff. Yep, this curriculum matches that. These concepts introduce healthy alternatives and ways for students to ask and seek help. And so that would be another check off that you would want to make sure that curriculum addresses this. So if I were the one doing this, I would go through each curriculum, mark off if it matches, doesn't match, but then maybe keep out the idea of what is grade appropriate and maybe go back with what meets the TEKS so that you don't say, oh, I like this one for this grade, and then find out it doesn't even match what is needed. So I don't know, just a suggestion. So you can kind of see the same thing gets, we go into kindergarten only and what they need to learn here. And so it's a little bit different. We would need to understand the difference between use and misuse, discuss proper usage of medications, and the harmful effects. And so this one is addressed a little bit in that first one, but this right here would be a little bit different. It would need to be added to make sure that it's included in the kindergarten curriculum. Moving forward, again, risk and protective factors were already addressed, so that would be kind of a double check. In first grade, these are the TEKS that you would need to make sure are identified in the curriculum for first grade. So you're starting to introduce the idea of something that's an over-the-counter before and not prescription, the difference between those two. Inhalants, I believe, is the first time this is mentioned. Vaping products is the first time it's mentioned in the TEKS here. Let's see. You would have, what can influence a decision regarding substance use? And so, and I think that's a really important piece of this is what, you know, if we can get down to the bottom as to why somebody chooses to make a poor choice on their health versus not, I think we'd all win a Nobel Prize, maybe, I don't know. But I do think that getting down to what influences those decisions is really good. Then we would have on the prevention side, teaching refusal skills when they are faced with substance abuse and use and abuse around them, and how to actually say no. And I know as adults that sounds elementary, but we are talking about an elementary curriculum at this point and teaching kids how to say no and that it's okay to say no. Then we move into the second grade, TEKS. What you'll see here is that it again goes into that prescription and over-the-counter drugs and their intended benefits. It changes just a little bit. Before we talked about just what they were, and this adds in that intended benefits. And then again, harmful effects. That's a rinse and repeat of the earlier grades. This one's a little bit different. The student is expected to describe what poisoning or overdose could look like. So that's a little bit different for this grade. This is, again, just that what to do when faced with the decision to use or not use. And then this is one of my favorite pieces of developing a protective factor. Identifying a trusted adult, such as a parent, teacher, or law enforcement officer, to report to. And that is probably, that resonates in a lot of the work that I do, whether it's threat assessments, suicide prevention, drug use and prevention. Having that trusted adult is so very important. And so many people, probably the people on this SHAC presentation, probably are trusted adult for their child, but so many of our students in our schools don't have that. And so having to teach what that looks like is something we actually have to do. Let's see, how to avoid unsafe situations. That's a new one from previous sections. And then we move into what was adopted in 2020 for third grade, and then looks very similar to some of the other ones. They bring in gangs into this particular conversation. I believe this one looks pretty similar. And then this is this is probably one of the first times it's being mentioned, is seeking emergency help. And so some of that may be including the education on how to use Narcan and how to find Narcan or Naloxone. And then this just continues, describe how friends can influence a decision, getting into that a little bit more than what had purposely said. And then I do like this one, the difference between reporting and tattling. I know that's a really big deal for students to be able to understand the difference and be okay with the difference. And so we actually want to see the kids demonstrate refusal skills. In fourth through eighth grade, we're going to see something a little bit different here. We're going to see that the standards want you to have a little bit more in-depth conversation with these students. And so specifically, you're going to see a bigger emphasis on those short and long-term effects of use, and then those legal consequences. And so this is introducing more of a more mature way to address the consequences of misusing drugs and alcohol. And then, again, seeking emergency help continues to be there. The relationship with friends, again, is reemphasized here. Demonstrate those refusal skills, ways to actually avoid it from the first place. I'm a big proponent of primary prevention, which means if we can keep it from ever happening in the first place, then that's great. And so you'll see something a little bit different here, where you actually are going to get into what the labels of drugs, of over-the-counter drugs mean and how to read them. Again, the legal consequences are noted here. So you're just going through each of these to evaluate each curriculum to see where it hits the mark and where it doesn't hit the mark. Does it actually provide any activities or curriculum on how to handle when a friend or a peer is around you with drugs and may even try to get you to use them? And then this is not just seeking help for emergency, but this is what we would say, see something, say something. And I am just personally, I'm really proud of our anonymous tip line that we have at the schools. It's very active. Students like to tell on each other. And I believe that the reason it's so successful is because they see us actually do something about the reports that come in. And so if they didn't trust that something was going to happen, I don't think it would be very active. So, and then this gets into a little bit more of the role playing, assess being assertive and using those refusal skills. And so being able to have those decision-making skills and problem-solving skills. So that's getting a little bit more of a mature curriculum here. And then I think we have a little, this is not new from other sections, but then we're going to get into a little bit more here. We have compare and contrast examples of the drug labels. So again, a little bit more in depth on the actual look of drugs and drug labels.
Yeah, and yeah. If I can just stop you real fast, if you'll scroll up again just a little bit. For the parents who are watching, if you look at A, B, C, and D, you're going to see that very first word, and that's going to be telling of what it is that you're looking to see that they accomplish. So in A, 15A, they must describe something. So whenever you find whatever it is that role actually describing these things, or is it doing something else? And then when you, like Jamie said, when you get down to compare and contrast, is it having the kids compare and contrast? And so when you're reading through these, like I said, I like to print and you don't have to, but what has helped me in the past is highlighting or underlining those specific things so that I make sure that when I'm looking, I'm saying, okay, this says identify and describe. Are they identifying, and then are they later also describing? And then what is it that they are told to identify and describe? Are those things being met?
Very good recap.
Paying attention to the verb.
Yes. And so, again, this goes into a little bit more depth about how to get help, who, when, where, and how. So now we're getting a little bit more comprehensive in this piece of the curriculum. Let's see here. Explain the impact of peer influence. So before it was recognized and how to handle it, but now we're going to talk about the actual impact of peer influence on that decision making. So you're going to see several ideas coming together into one TEAK here. And then let's see, social influences is going to be introduced here, physical and social. So this has a lot to do with that peer pressure, but then also just what does the current climate even look like for students being exposed to these dangers? Alternative activities, we discussed that a little bit earlier. Refusal skills, we discussed. And so now we're going to move into seventh and eighth grade curriculum. And so you're going to see some of the same things. What I do like about this is that it not only talks about misuse in this curriculum, but it does talk about the actual proper use for drugs, because there is a place for drugs. And so what does a proper use look like versus an improper use? Drug warning labels. This is the first time it's being mentioned here, I believe. And so not just knowing how to read a label on the instructions, but then also the warning label that comes with it. You also have here analyzing the consequences, not just understanding them, but maybe have a list of actions versus consequences and seeing which ones make the most sense for matching those up. And then moving forward, we have, again, identifying who, when, where, and how to get help, signs and symptoms. This is a lot of the same, but again, just maybe a little bit more mature approach to the conversation. And then let's see what's good on here. So then whenever you see the different banners up here, these are for the different types of classes these might be introduced in. But I like this one, investigate and identify options. So this to me means it's going to be a little bit more in depth of a conversation or assignment. Explain how to report. And then, let's see. We're getting close to the end here. Does anyone have any questions on how or what the goal is in attaching a TEAK to a piece of curriculum?
So if you do have any questions, and if you are calling in, then feel free just to shout it out. Otherwise, there is a three-dot column somewhere, probably down near the bottom. And then from there, you'll click on that, and then you click on something that has a shape of a triangle, maybe multiple shapes. I'm not on that end, but that's what I'm seeing over here. But once you do that, then you can put some questions in the chat. If you can't figure out how to do that, then feel free to raise your hand. Somehow, some way, we'll get to you. While we're waiting on that, one of the things that Angie and I had spoke about that we think would be beneficial to parents, and let us know if you don't agree or if you do agree, would be telling y'all what the outcomes are when your kids are bringing these things to school, or if they are, rather. A lot of parents don't know, like, if they get caught with a vape or paraphernalia or whatever the case may be, what does the outcome look like from that point? And that may help parents be able to reinforce, like, this is serious, you know, you could be expelled, and then what will you do?
Yeah, so in future meetings, we will just kind of inform the SHAC about what consequences are for these things at school. So that's definitely on our agenda moving forward. regards to our assignment, Ms. Posey has some great recommendations for where to start. Printing off the teaks and taking out your highlighter and highlighting the differences from grade level to grade level. And then in addition, looking at those verbs to see exactly what is being required for that grade level, a good place to start. And then walking through each of the curriculums that have been shared from TEA or the Texas and or the Texas School Safety Center to see if those pieces and parts are there and where they match. So that is going to be, that is your charge, but I do think that's why it was a good idea to walk through the TEKS to fully understand them, because that really is the starting point for us as a SHAC. We do have some questions, so we want to address those, and then we can talk about what you can expect from here from me and regarding emails and next steps going forward. So, so one question is, are we only looking at opioids and fentanyl? So that is within the, that is within the TEKS, but that is our, that is what we're required to do as a SHAC, but I do think that it's kind of addressed jointly, so I kind of see that there will be some overlap there, so it's okay if we're looking at drugs in other ways. Don't you think that's true, Jamie?
Yes, so the mandate does say that the required instruction on fentanyl prevention and drug poisoning awareness must include the following: suicide prevention, prevention of the abuse of and addiction to fentanyl, awareness of local school and community resources, and then also health education includes information about those things.
Yeah, so it does include the substance abuse piece as well. Mm-hmm. So, and we're looking at K-12. So another question that we had come in through our questions online was what grade levels, and we're looking at K-12.
Mm-hmm. And so, and to answer that a little bit, the mandate says 6 through 12, but it also says that the SHAC is responsible for determining the appropriate grade level. So we can go beyond that if an earlier education is identified by the SHAC.
Perfect. So that's it for the questions that were sent to us. In, so for those of us that are in the room,
we do have a question in the room. So I was just wondering for the I'm middle school, right? So how is this delivered to students? I saw the health.
Place that it'll be rolled out, but it could also be done, you know, depending upon the SHAC recommendation, in class as well, in some other way. But health classes most likely, which at elementary level and for middle school is in PE.
Yeah, and some of them had the option for guest speakers and things like that. And so obviously, that for older grades, that may be delivered differently. And I think that's up to us to kind.
I know, like, counselors do the mental health and stuff, do the bullying presentations and things like that. So I'm just wondering. Like,
yes.
And it's kind of, it's separate from class, right?
So, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So right now, this is looking at our in-class instruction. And so we had another class, I mean, another question that asked, what is currently taught? So while the SHAC is working on this, it is being held. And so we are determining that this year. And then next year, once we make our recommendation and that whatever's approved by the board, then we'll move forward, just like we did with abuse prevention. Any other questions? Any other questions?
Sorry, did I get put my hand up?
Oh, okay.
So, based on the previous question of what is currently being taught, is this extra material, supplemental extra material that the kids are going to get taught on top of what is already getting taught at school, or is this going to be, you know, the main focus and whatever is being taught now kind of just thrown out of the curriculum?
So it is part of the TEKS that are required by the state of Texas for us to cover, but as part of a SHAC duty, it is our duty to determine what that looks like for our community. And so
Yes, thank you.
Good. I springboard on that. Could we get Catch to give us a crosswalk to these teams to find out what's already being taught?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I will reach out to our PE health curriculum that we're currently using to check with them as well. Yeah. Is any of the teams that we looked at covered at school now? And so we.
That was shortcut.
Yeah.
You're no fun.
So for our next meeting, we will include Catch in that presentation so we can look at what's offered within that curriculum that we already have approved, because Shaq did approve Catch previously. And so we will look at that to see what is part of that current curriculum that is already.
And I know that it does hit on some of those whenever we reviewed it before. But if we go through this and we say, like, oh, we're looking at option B, and option B is missing 15A through D, but maybe Catch has it, then we could just say, okay, well, with that supplemented, then we meet 100% of the teams.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be very helpful. So we will do that. We will. That'll be part of meeting three. Any other questions? Good questions. So from here, you can expect an email with these resources for you to review on your own, including Jamie's presentation, which is where everything is. Our next meeting is going to continue to address those, and we'll bring in Catch as well. And we also are going to bring in just an understanding of the consequences that do come from this type of use within the district. And so, in addition, I'm going to send you the comments from our abuse prevention survey that rolled out after our last meeting, and so you can read those yourself and see them, see what everybody had to say about Crime Stoppers in Waller County with abuse prevention.
Yeah, so the next time we'll meet will be February 7th, and there's a lot of work to do between now and then, but the good news is that Christmas break is coming up, so you have a lot of time. But of course, if you have any questions or you need help or you want to get together here in the office and go through the TEKS, however it is that we can be of service to you,
you can definitely make that happen. So, yes.
Yeah, I'm volunteering her, but
I know,
I'll be here.
But yeah, no, we can make that happen. And so that is the end of our second Shaq meeting for the 24-25 school year. And I just want to say that I'll use your words, but it is some heavy lifting, but I think it's good lifting. I think it's important that we walk through this and determine what's best for our community and our kiddos, because this is important stuff. So thank you all for being a part of this work this year. If you need anything, I'm always an email or a phone call away, so feel free to reach out, and I will be sending you an email with these resources so you can start digging. So happy planning, looking, all the things. Bye.
Do you think it will be possible to schedule something in early January just so we can, whoever wants to sit and kind of go over those things?
Absolutely. I can definitely reserve us some space and some work time. So I will do that. I'll send out an invite for that. Whoever wants to come.
Is there...
Perfect. And
okay. Sorry, Doris.
I know who that was.
It's okay.
Leaders will maybe in honor society or some type of leadership roles in the high school who could give feedback and say, well, I wish I would have heard this in elementary, or I wish I would have heard this in middle school, so we can also get their perspective and trying to incorporate these things.
And I don't mind taking that one. There are a couple of those programs that have student ambassador programs.
Like,
that might be something to look at. I don't know if that would be the avenue for that, but it's a suggestion.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Doris. And I will set up some time in January so everybody can look for that date and meeting availability time. So.